some pretty incredible worship. I know that you guys were blessed by that in the same way that I was. Again, happy Mother's Day. I thank for all of you who have decided to join us today for worship. And I want to just tell you all kinds of great things that are happening. First of all, to all of the ladies at H&W, we have a special gift for you today. And normally we would be handing those out in person, but here's what we're going to do. We want you to know that you're loved and appreciated. So across the highway from the H&W campus, there is a coffee place that is unique to Houston called Minuti Coffee. We've actually brokered a deal with them. So if you drive through Minuti Coffee, the location across from H&W, over there in the Kroger parking lot, between 10 a.m. and 5 p.m., tell them that you're with Houston Northwest Church and let them know that, then your small drink will be on us. And that's just one small way that we can say thanks to you. So from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. on Mother's Day, that's the case. Now, some of you are watching this right now. It's after Mother's Day at 5 p.m. Either our Sunday evening crew or our Tuesday evening crew. We want you to know, moms that are watching this as well, ladies that are watching this, you're loved too. We just couldn't get the logistics to work out on this one. But anyway, small token of appreciation and wanted you ladies to know that. So any lady at H&W, drive through Minuti Coffee and your small drink will be on us. Also want to just let you know, we released our roadmap to reopen. It's now up on the H&W website. You can go find it there. As you already know, we're in step 2, and you can read more of the details there online as we continue to navigate this COVID-19 crisis together. Also, I want you to know that your church continues to do great work in the community. This week, we had our blood drive. Every slot was filled. Thank you so much to those of you who participated. We also continue to do much of the great work that we've been doing. We've been feeding frontline workers, continue to serve folks in the community. I saw some great work that our kids did, sending just beautiful notes to one of the assisted living centers in the area. Your church just continues to do great things. Thank you so much for that. We continue to offer financial assistance to those in our community who are in need right now, particularly those who have, because of COVID-19, either lost their job or been laid off or furloughed. If that's you, please reach out to us. You can apply for financial assistance online. And also, we want you to know that if you give towards H&W at this time, then you're helping support all of those ministries and other things that we're doing that aren't quite as visible at this time. So it takes all of us who can give to make it through this season. So I just want to thank you to those of us who can give and continue to give. And if you're not giving, this is an opportunity for you to jump in. Again, thanks so much, and I greatly appreciate it. Just a few things that I wanted to share with you before we jumped in. I think that's pretty much all of it. So now what we're going to do, I'm going to pray over us, and then we're going to continue on in our series entitled Cabin Fever, Living the Christian Life When You Can't Leave Home. So let me pray for us, and we'll jump into God's Word together. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you continue to give us words, even today. Your word gives instruction, gives vision, calls us forward, and shows us how to live. Father, we're thankful for that. And so, Lord, today I pray that as I speak, that your words would pierce hearts and would draw people to you. Father, we pray today that you would rescue, that you would have those who are far from you say yes to you. And God, we pray all of this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, so we are today going to be in the book of James, James chapter 5, and we're going to be starting in verse 7. I'm going to read verses 7 through 11. Now, James was Jesus's brother, half-brother technically, and he wrote what many consider to be the earliest book in the New Testament. Not the earliest gospel, but the earliest book. And so I share this book with you today because I think it's important for us to realize that James would have been very close to Jesus. So these words, as we go through those fruit of the Spirit, that fruit of the Spirit list that's found in Galatians 5, this is important. So far we've talked about love, joy, and peace. And today, perhaps fittingly, on Mother's Day, we're talking about patience. So let me jump in here, James chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. The word of the Lord. You guys ever spent time on the phone with customer service? I'm not exactly proud of the story that I'm about to tell you, but it is true. Recently, my family decided that we wanted to get a subscription to Disney Plus. Not because we were really into all of the animated stuff, but because we love Star Wars. You already knew I was a nerd. It's okay. But we really wanted to be able to stream all of that great Star Wars content at any time, particularly the new stuff that was coming out. I digress. Point being was that we signed up in advance, and through some sort of technical glitch on Disney's end, somehow our subscription was not active. And so I had to call them, and I waited on hold for 4 hours before someone finally answered and said, "We're really sorry about the mix-up. Here's the deal. We're going to get you squared away. We're going to activate your subscription, and we're going to put this first year on the house." Well, I mean, I didn't really like staying on the phone for 4 hours, but I was grateful for the fact that they were going to pay for that first year. And, you know, it's Disney, so thanks a lot. Hung up. Well, a problem occurred, and that problem was that Disney not only didn't fix the problem, they actually messed me up again. They charged me for the original subscription that never worked, and then charged me again, and the year wasn't on the house. In fact, it was the opposite of being on the house. I got charged twice. So being any reasonable person, I called back and stayed on the phone. I don't know if I should be ashamed or proud of this, but I stayed on the phone for 6 hours. Yeah, I know. I'm messed up. Anyway, here's the point. Finally, I was able to get through and talk to someone. They said they would fix it, and they didn't. And here I am complaining into a camera now all alone. Well, so yeah, I do have Disney Plus streaming, but I was so frustrated, it was ridiculous. So what's the point? The point is this: I hate wasting time, you hate wasting time, and whenever we waste time, we do this. We tell stories about it. Why? Because we're impatient people. Now, we may talk about the fact that patience is a virtue, and we may say that we think that patience is a virtue, but we certainly do not live as patient people. Sometime back, the playwright Samuel Beckett wrote a play, and it was entitled Waiting for Godot. Now, whether or not the play was actually about this, many people in the 20th century took it to be a representation of waiting on God. And in the play, Godot, the character for whom the protagonists are waiting, never shows up. And some people took that to mean that whenever we wait on God, we're waiting on something or someone who will never choose to arrive. I want to take exception with that today, and I want to talk about why actually the scripture says that patience is something that the Spirit works in our life, and that the patience that God gives is a good quality, actually a quality that is necessary. If we are impatient, we are in fact pushing against the work of the Holy Spirit. And I think that James chapter 5 really points that out. So let me start here in verse 7, and I'll point out what I mean. It says in verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." And then listen to this sentence: "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains." The first thing that I want us to notice is that patience in and of itself is good because waiting is the work. I'm going to say that again. Waiting is the work. Most of us think of waiting as wasted time, but here James is very clear. that we are to be in the same mindset as a farmer. Now, I'm not a farmer, but I did spend a pretty good amount of time as a kid in the country. In fact, my parents still live in the country, and I've been around gardening for a good part of my life. And notice that I said I've been around gardening. I wouldn't call myself a gardener by any stretch of the imagination. But my dad did actually grow almost world record okra. It grew to be almost 18 feet tall whenever I was a young man. Pretty impressive stuff. And I, as we moved out to the country, I was just excited because his garden was huge. It was about an acre in size. And one of the things that I know, you can get canned vegetables, but they are no way as good as the vegetables that come straight from the garden. But here's the other thing I know. You can have substandard vegetables if you're in a hurry, because you can go to the store and just grab the can. But if you want the good stuff, you've got to wait. You plant the seed, and then, as James says, you wait for the early and the late rains. It just takes a while. This reminds me that James probably heard Jesus say these very things whenever he was speaking in John chapter 12, verse 24, where Jesus spoke about the fact that a seed must go into the ground and die before it's able to bring forth any fruit. The point there is, I think, made again by James, that the things that God is doing within our hearts and the things that God continues to do within each of us is something that doesn't happen overnight. This is difficult for those of us who've grown up in a microwave culture to understand, but many things that are good take time. Waiting is the work. Now, we don't think of that. When we think of waiting, we think of waiting rooms. And when we think of waiting rooms, we think of waiting rooms in a few different ways, but most of them are certainly not positive. We tend to think of waiting rooms in a few ways. We think of waiting rooms as optional. You know, this is something that I can just get up and leave at any point if I want to leave because I don't have to stay. Or we tend to think of a waiting room as inefficient. We think, well, you know, I'm only having to wait because the people back there aren't on their schedule the way they're supposed to be. And so this is just a marker of their inefficiency. Or others of us think of waiting rooms as pointless. You know, it would be just as easy for me to wait at home or in a car. And in fact, some places now have systems where you can get in line on an app on your phone, and they'll shoot you a text whenever it's time for you to head wherever it is that you're supposed to be. Here's where I'm headed with that. We tend to think in terms of waiting purely from a transactional perspective, that waiting is just about getting to the end result. But the scripture indicates that waiting, patience in and of itself, is something that has to happen, because it's only in waiting that God can work. While we are waiting, God is doing things that we can't see. He's smoothing off those rough edges. He's digging out the idols of our hearts. He's exposing to us all of the problems that we have. Just think about how you felt waiting over the last couple of months during this COVID-19 crisis. Probably you've seen some things in your character that you're not too proud of. Waiting, it's the work itself. So what is patience? I think that patience can be defined as follows. Patience is waiting with expectation, but without aggravation. Patience, waiting with expectation, but without aggravation. It's this sense that we are expectantly waiting, expecting God to do something, to show up, to move. But at the same time, we're not angry. Impatience is when we don't like waiting and we're angry and we want to show people. Waiting is the moment in that patient season when God does things, when he starts to open our hearts, to grow us. And only by walking through those long seasons of waiting can God do changes. We see that all throughout the narrative of the Bible. We see the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Because God has to change hearts before the nation can move into the promised land. We recognize that God cannot hand us many of the things for which we are waiting because we're not ready. This isn't like showing up at a dentist office and getting a root canal. This is something completely different. This is instead a process whereby we cannot even know what God wants to give us. And even though we're frustrated sometimes with waiting, we can't receive it until our hearts have grown. In other words, the waiting process should be active. We should be pursuing God when we're waiting, leaning into the scripture, leaning into seasons of prayer. This isn't a time to distract ourselves. This isn't a season in which we ought to waste time. This is a season in which waiting ought to be active. So I think that we begin by recognizing that God has planted the seed of the kingdom in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit wants to bring that to bear fruit. But as the Spirit does that, we must be patient. We must wait expectantly on God, but not be angry. I think that Psalm 40 really beautifully describes this. Listen to Landon Sambito as Landon reads today and tells us about the beautiful rescue that God brings when we wait on Him.
Psalm 40, 1-3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Thanks, Landon. That was great. So then James turns, and it seems like it's not related. He turns away from patience, or at least it seems that he does, and he turns towards grumbling, but I actually think that he's on the same topic. So he starts with the fact that waiting is the work, but then he heads over to the fact that we need to wait without grumbling. Why? Well, whenever you drive, you have gauges in your car. Those gauges tell you things that are happening inside your car that you can't see. The human heart has similar gauges. They just show up in different ways. So for instance, whenever I'm stressed, I have some gauges that show me that I'm stressed. I start to lose my temper more easily. My fuse gets short. I want to sit down and eat an entire bag of tortilla chips, whether I'm hungry or not. That's a gauge telling me that. You see, here, grumbling, James is driving at, is the gauge that tells you that you're impatient. It makes sense. Think about it. Why do you grumble? You grumble because there's a situation that you can't control, and because you can't control it, you're required to be patient. And James seems to indicate that sometimes we're in situations that are controlled by other people, people that may even be our brothers and sisters in Christ. What about you? You ever found yourself in a situation where you wanted to grumble against a brother or sister, maybe one even in our own body, because you didn't like the way that they were handling a situation? Yeah, me too. Whenever you do that, you are betraying what's happening in your heart. And what's happening in your heart is that you're not trusting the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the one that gives us patience. And if we're not trusting in God's work through the Spirit, well, then we're actually saying that we think that God can't be trusted. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right now. Well, Steve, that's not why I'm grumbling. I'm grumbling not about someone else. I'm grumbling about my own situation. I've been waiting for a baby. I've been waiting for a spouse. I've been waiting to get healed. I've been waiting for my child to change. You've got this situation that's very personal, and it doesn't impact really anyone else. So when you're grumbling, you're thinking, well, I'm not grumbling about someone. But actually, you are. You're grumbling about God. If you're a Christian, whenever you grumble, you are betraying the fact that you will not wait on the Lord. The Bible is filled with references to waiting on the Lord. In fact, depending on what translation you use, 140 times the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Waiting is something that is required for those of us who are people of faith because it reminds us that we're not in control. That's why patience is a fruit of the Spirit, because it's required for people who must wait. It's why the Israelites wandered for 40 years. It's why we're still waiting for Jesus to return. It's why growing into a mature Christian takes a lifetime, because waiting is how God does His work. So if you're complaining about your own situation, you're complaining against God. But instead of doing that, let's do what the psalmist does. The psalmist actually takes his complaints to the Lord. He complains straight to God's face. And apparently that is a behavior that's fine. It's just not complaining about God to others or complaining about others to others. Instead, we need to trust in the work of God. Here's what I've learned over the years. Pain is the place that God uses to perfect patience. I'm going to say that again. Pain is the place that God uses to perfect patience. I don't like painful circumstances. I don't like the fact that my church was flooded by Hurricane Harvey. I don't like the fact that we're in a season of lockdown. I don't like the fact that I'm on my fourth pacemaker. But I can tell you this, those painful circumstances and situations have taught me more about the character of God than all of the good days in my life combined. I'm not proud of that, but it's still the case. The truth of the matter is that I tend to be someone who only listens and learns whenever my back is against the wall. Maybe you can relate. So that's why I think that James starts to talk about grumbling and complaining, because it's a gauge showing that we're not patient. And if you're complaining a lot right now, whether about someone else, about your life, or maybe even both, you're actually demonstrating that you're not patient and that you're complaining about God. But then James goes to the end of the passage. And right there at the end of the passage, then look at what he says in verse 11. In verse 11, he says this. He says, "You have heard of the steadfastness of Job." Now, remember, maybe your mom or your grandma would talk about the patience of Job. That's what they're referring to there. And then it says, "You have seen the purpose of the Lord and how the Lord is compassionate and merciful." What's James driving at? Well, Job was a guy in the Bible who lost everything. All of his property, all of his family, and yet he still stayed trusting God. He remained faithful. And then right after that, he says, now this is God's purpose, and God is merciful and compassionate. What are we driving at here? What's the point? What James is trying to say is that God's purpose is to make us into people who will be like Job. Now, we don't really look forward to that, to sitting through losing a loved one, losing all of our property. But James' point is that even in the midst of trials and tribulations, we will be people who are patient, continuing to wait on the Lord, continuing to be people who trust him. Waiting on the Lord is a requirement because we have to learn to trust the character of God. Guys, right now, let's be honest, conspiracy theories are out there. I mean, there's 100 videos floating around on Facebook. I'm sure you've seen one, if not more than one. All sorts of ideas about how the virus started or who's profiting off the virus. I've heard all kinds of theories. I'm sure you have too. It's not that I want to focus on. It's this, our fascination with conspiracy theories. We love a conspiracy theory, and because of that, we're not trusting people. The reason that we love conspiracy theories is that we have been fomented in fear our entire lives. We have to believe that there's a hidden agenda behind everything. And this is why we don't trust God, because we have been discipled by conspiracy theories. So we also don't want to wait on the Lord. If we can't trust our own neighbors, and we can't trust our government, and we can't trust the people around us, how could we ever trust God? How could we ever believe that God would be good, that we could trust him, that we could wait on him? But that's what the scripture says. The scripture says that his character is unassailable, that he's good, that he loves you, and that he has what's best in store for you. It may not be your dream. It may not be the life that you planned out whenever you were a kid. It may not be the one that you even want today, but it will be what's best, because it will be the life that makes you most into the likeness of Jesus if you will wait on the Lord and trust him. That's what the Spirit of God does. The Spirit of God isn't here to be our genie, granting our wishes, making us have the life that we always drew up. The Spirit of God is here to make us look like Jesus Christ. That's how the world changes, and that's how our city changes. People looking more like Jesus. Will you wait on the Lord? Will you trust in God? Will you dispel the conspiracy theories that people have about the character of God and instead trust that he is indeed good? Today, if you want patience, you're not going to find it in a self-help book. You're certainly not going to find it through meditation or yoga. You're not going to find patience through some sort of weird practice you can invent. You're only going to find patience because you decide to let the Spirit of God work out in you, trusting God, trusting the character of God, and trusting that it's good to wait on God. That's what the Spirit of God has done in me. Well, at least he's still working on me. And I know that he wants to do the same thing in you today. Doesn't matter if you're a mom or not. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. God wants to give you the gift of life change, and he can do it right now. But you have to decide. So the question today is this. Do you want to be changed? Do you want to cast aside all of that doubt, all of that suspicion, and all of that fear? And do you want to finally put your hands and put your life, rather, in the hands of a God who loves? And if the answer to that is yes, then today you can place your faith in Jesus. There's going to be a button that says raise hand if you're watching in the church online platform. There's going to be a link if you're watching on Facebook. Click either one and then fill out the form. Connect with us. We want to help you. You're not going to become patient just because you somehow anonymously raise your hand. Let people who have been following Jesus a very long time surround you and say yes to helping you. We love you. We believe that God wants to change you and that God can do so starting today. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the gift that you've given. Thank you, God, that we can be people who lean in, that trust you, that your character is good. And Father, I pray, make us people who love, people who hear and who know that your Son Jesus is working all things out. In the name above all names, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. At HNW, our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians become more like Jesus. Because of that, we would love to invite you to get connected here at HNW. For more info, go to hnw.org/newhere. Again, thank you for listening. Have a great day.